We are smaller in number this evening, and that's going to be all right. I normally, when I lead, I like to ask lots of questions and get lots of conversation going so that I don't have to talk very much. But so we'll try to keep that trend going, even though we're a bit smaller. So we're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 5, but what we're going to do tonight is we are going to discuss in its entirety this episode, this story of Ananias and Sapphira. And so that goes to up to verse 11. So when we come again next week, Lord willing, we're going to start on 12. So we're going to talk about Ananias and Sapphira. If we get past that, great, but we're at least covering this evening. To get the context, I wanted to start back in the last little chunk there in chapter 4, starting at verse 32. So chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. And we'll just read the next section to 16. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So, so let's go back then, starting at the start of chapter 5. So, if you're going to share this evening, men, you have been encouraged, and I'm encouraging you now to use loud voices. It has been said that people who are listening online cannot hear much of the discussion amongst the people out in the crowd. So for their sake, if you have something to share, can you just project as best you can your thoughts as we go forward? So I'm not sure if you saw it.
In the bulletin this week, there were some chapter questions for this chapter. There's a few extras on the table right by the door there if you want to grab them. And we'll talk about some of these, and we'll probably cover others as we go through in this chapter. So I read the last part of chapter 4 there because, as we know, the chapter divisions are not inspired. That's something that was done by people who put the books together. And so I think the end of chapter 4 blends in with the start of chapter 5 nicely, and it's important some of that context. is there. So, and I think context is a very important part of this whole episode, where it's talking about, like specifically in the book of Acts. Okay, this is early on in the book of Acts that this story is shared here. And it probably did likely happen, you know, in the right context here. But I think it's important that this story is told. And it's and as we read the story of the church, the early church and its development, this story is put in here at the beginning or the very early stages. And I think there's a reason for that. And so, as we'll discuss. So, David did sort of, well, he was finishing off chapter 4 there, but and, you know, he just sort of summarized this last section. But so what we have here is that there's an emphasis on this having everything in common. Things the group is unified. Believers who are one heart, one soul, and no one said that any of the things belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. So this idea of having everything in common was an important part of the group that's establishing himself there. They had everything in common, and so that idea isn't an idea of communism, but what's mine, the things that I have been blessed with, I will share with those around me. And there's a recognition there amongst these believers that everything that we have, all my material possessions, it's not even mine to begin with. So I can be pretty loose with, you know, the giving of it and holding on to it, because it's not mine to begin with. That's the attitude we see presented here amongst the believers at this stage, right? And there is great power. There's lots of things happening. There's an energy happening in the early church at this stage. Not a needy person among them. And any who were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet. And we know from our chapter that, you know, and this would be a very public spectacle. People would see this happening. And there would be a variety of responses to seeing this happen. But, you know, and this energy that was happening in these days of the early church. And so this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, see this. And as men and women, as natural people, and as people with a sin nature, that something crept in here. Something as they see an opportunity for the wrong things. And so we see this act, and it's drawn out. It's another interesting thing about this section here is that it's drawn out. It's not just a couple lied about having some property, and they both died, right? We get the breakdown of what happens to Ananias first, and then an echoing of the same story, but to Sapphira second. And so we want to, why is that? Why didn't they just summarize and say people who tried to rip off the church were, you know, there was serious consequences? Just some things to think of. So, Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property and with his wife's knowledge kept back part of it for himself, part of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. What did Ananias and Sapphira do wrong? What are they guilty of? That's the first question in this section. What is their crime, if you want to call it that?
They were actually pretending to give the whole amount of their money, but they had kept that part, but they lied about it, and that was, in a sense, lying to God or lying to the Holy Spirit, and that was what they were accused of.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who is harmed by what Ananias and Sapphira have done here? Is the church harmed by it?
Ultimately, they would be.
Yes.
And the testimony of those that were doing that.
Yep.
Because people, it was an open thing. Mm-hmm. It was very, very public. So they would be a reflection of all those that were, all the others that were laying things at the apostles' feet, and these people didn't. So those from the outside would see them.
Yes. Yeah, I thought about the testimony too, and Grace and I were talking about this, and wonder maybe like, did not people maybe know You wonder about, you know, we can't know these things, we're speculating, but about the sort of the knowledge of Ananias and Sapphira, like who they were as people in the community, like were they known as upright, upstanding people, or were they known as people who were maybe shrewd business people, or, you know, like, and would people have known through the transaction of that, you know, that selling of that land, you know, I just wondered if people would have known, like, they sold that land for $500,000, and yet they only gave so much. Like, I just wondered if there would be like talk amongst the people if this would be a thing that they would know, right? So you talk about the testimony of the church. Like, maybe if that was known, that would be a way in which that the church might be affected by it.
The person that bought it would certainly know.
Right. They would know how much they got for it. That's right.
Just to be clear, the sin here is not giving part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The sin here is giving, is saying you gave it all when you only gave part of it.
Yeah.
That's the sin.
So the consequence of who is harmed, it is, like you say, like the obviously God is the one who is offended by it because you're lying to the Holy Spirit. But there is ripple effect there that you know, the testimony of the church and the church is impacted because, you know, people were giving all of their, or selling their things and giving those finances so that the gospel could go forward, so the church could grow. And ultimately, they're not giving as much as they, you know, they could give, and so the church misses out on some of that they were giving. Yeah.
It does say in verse 11 that there was great fear when they heard these things. So that would, to me, that would sort of insinuate that they didn't know. But now that they do know, they're afraid. And that, in a sense, is a good thing, because it was making them more aware of, you know, don't be a hypocrite. Don't say what's not true. You have to be truthful in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think another reason for this happening, that's a pretty drastic punishment for these people. I mean, all they did was lie. Someone might say, but they were struck dead. That's pretty severe. But I think, in a sense, God is setting a standard here that he wants the church to be holy. He wants the church to be truthful,
mm-hmm.
and not to be lying to each other.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's a standard of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just as well he doesn't always follow through for us, because we would all be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
You know, I think it's a lesson for us that we need to be more, you know, serious and recognize that as a church fellowship, we need to be truthful and honest before God. And that's the standard he set there.
Right. And I want to get into definitely more of that when we sort of think of the broader applications to us, for sure. But yeah, so that kind of ties into with what I was asking about, the context. You know, why this story, you know, coming here at the early chapters of Acts and beginning to the early stages of the church, why this is happening here. Any thoughts on that?
I think it has to do with the beginning, the establishment of the church. There's actually a parallel in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 10. And there you see at the beginning of that chapter that two of the sons of Aaron, they bring in strange fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wrong type of stuff they were supposed to, like the wrong incense. And the Lord strikes them dead.
Mm-hmm.
Very severe. Now this was at the beginning of the, you know, God's covenant with Israel. And then if you look in the history of Israel, for example, when you go to the days of Samuel when he was young, and you look at the two sons of the high priest, very similar, Hophni and Phinehas, and look at the stuff they did. They were wicked guys. They didn't just do one thing wrong. They were doing the wrong things all the time. And yet, they weren't struck dead. Now, the Lord did judge them later on. But that was towards the end of an era, which was actually the end of the tabernacle era. Now, you compare it to church history, far worse things have happened in professing churches than what happened in this chapter with Ananias and Sapphira. But God could not tolerate this at the beginning of his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
because this was so public, it would have done tremendous public damage to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, because everything that was happening at the early church here was a clear demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. And so if this had, if the Lord had allowed this to keep going, then the people would have said, well, if that's the Holy Spirit, look what's happening here. These guys are lying. If that's what the Holy Spirit is, then I don't want anything to do with it. So God could not accept that sort of thing. And yet later on in church history, as we see much today as well, there's so much going on in the name of the church that is far worse than any of what these people did. But, you know, the times are different. That doesn't mean it's any less serious. But there is, at this point, you find severe judgment. Mm-hmm. So it's a lesson for us too. You know, like John Calvin said about this story, Ananias and Sapphira had more respect for the apostles' feet than for the face of God. Mm-hmm. Quite a statement, really. Mm-hmm. That's a question we can ask. Do we fear God enough to not pretend more than what we are? Mm-hmm. Or do?
One thing that's important to see too is that it was not a requirement of God for them to give all their money. Mm-hmm. It was not a requirement. It was something that had to be willing, or a willingness to do it, and a desire to do it. And it had to be according to their own heart. Mm-hmm. Because Peter says a little later that they could have kept the whole thing if they would have wanted to. The price was in their disposition. But they chose to lie to look good.
Right.
Hypocrisy is, and they didn't lie to just, they didn't lie to men, but they lied to God. So that's an indication here that the Spirit of God is actually God.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indication of the deity of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yes, lying to, yeah, you lie to the Holy Spirit as you would lie to a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is God. That's right.
Another example in the early church is in the Corinthian church, who had a lot of problems, as we know, as we go through the Corinthian letters. But specifically, Paul talks about the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. He says, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself and not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, or they died. Mm-hmm. The Lord took them away because of this particular sin. So, going back to what Leonard said, in the early church, the severity is demonstrated, even though we may think, like, how many times have we done this sin,
mm-hmm.
Personally, you know, individually, and yet, at the beginning of the establishment of the church, particularly the Corinthian church, we see the Lord dealt severely in this instance.
So one of the questions I was sort of going to sort of lean towards the end, but I think it applies now, is this idea. So what? How do we see this? This was a very sort of specific example of, you know, something, the way that the church was being sort of established and started was people were, you know, coming and laying their money before the apostles, and this is, you know, this early start of the church. So in 2023, soon 2024, what are we? How are we sort of embedding ourselves in this? Where is this? Where are we seeing this kind of thing? You know, in the current, you know, evangelical church, maybe even here, you know, within our own specific context. What are we supposed to examine of ourselves? What are we supposed to see in here of ourselves when we read this passage? What are the challenges for us here?
I think one of the things that I think about is, Serge said, hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the local church today, is knowing truth and not abiding by it. And I think mm-hmm. we can all relate in so many different ways about things that we know to be true, things that we know to be right and then we don't do them, it affects the testimony of the whole assembly. And so an example of, we know that it's a biblical thing to gather together, to pray together. And when we intentionally don't do those things, mm-hmm. to me that's what it's kind of a bit hypocritical on our part when we know the truth and we just don't do it. I'm disobedient or hypocritical or
mm-hmm. Now there is one danger that could have happened here and can happen with us too, that when some of these other believers saw what happened, that it would have wrongly could have resulted in them, well, man, if that's the risk I'm going to run, I don't think I'm going to give anything. Mm-hmm. Because you never know, maybe I don't know my heart well enough. So then you just step back and you just become passive. I mean, we can do it too, like the example of building the bed from 1 Corinthians 11. Well, now, if that's the way it is, I'm not going to take part at all. I'm just going to step back and don't want to run the risk of inviting the judgment of God. I don't think that's God's intention, because then the devil gets an advantage on us too. So, but I do believe it's the Lord looks for honesty, for reality. I think that's, you know, not for it's not a matter of weakness or having failures. I mean, we all have failures, we all sin. But it's what these people did was first degree, mm-hmm. if you can call it that way, first degree lying, right? It mm-hmm. was with intention.
No, they worked together.
Yeah.
They were, what's the word? They're co-conspiring, I guess, you know, to lie. Right? So, yeah.
See, the Lord told the disciples to stay away from the leaven of the Pharisees, was it? Mm-hmm. Which was hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And hypocrisy is something that God hates. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy for us sometimes to portray something that we're not. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. They portrayed something that they were not. And Peter, by the discernment of the Spirit of God, knew. Mm-hmm. So he asked him the question, is it at this price that you sold your property? He gave him a chance. Mm-hmm. He gave him a second chance. He could have said, oh, I guess not. And he would have been okay. Mm-hmm. But he kept the lie, trying to look good, trying to be something that he was not.
Right.
And I think we so are quick to be guilty of that, mm-hmm. of trying to portray something that we're not.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger takeaways is just that very idea. It's very easy for us to come into a place like this and to project a certain togetherness, and inside we could be just legitimately struggling with things, or even worse is that idea if we're deliberately just, you know, being reckless and have no interest for God in our lives, and we can come here on a Sunday and pretend, which is, you know, you can fool people, you really can. I'm sure Ananias and Sapphira had a lot of people fooled. There was probably a lot of people when they went to their funerals were really shocked by Ananias and Sapphira. And so I do think that's a challenge for us, is to be, you know, that we are to be transparent, and that we are to be confessing our sins to each other. And that doesn't mean publicly we all have to come and, you know, and share all our burdens. This is where community comes in, and having people that you can share with and have pray for you and those kind of things. That I think roots out the seeds of hypocrisy, which can be, you know, they can be very much a part of a local church. And so seeing the way that God very seriously deals with hypocrisy, even for the day and the time and the beginning of the church, God still, I think, is just as angry about hypocrisy in the church, and so it's something that we want to very much be on the alert for. And I guess that comes in different ways. So, like, that idea of you know, Ananias and Sapphira here, they were looking for praise. They wanted people to think, look at me, look at this guy. Like, he's, you know, he is a big donor. Right? He's going to get his name on the platinum sponsors on the plaque on the wall, right? So that's going to give them prestige, and that's what they were looking for. And so that idea of looking for praise, when we do things for the Lord, you know, we need to check our motives and why we're doing the things that we're doing, and confessing that we want to be doing things for the Lord and not for our own glory or praise or prestige.
Is the root sin here not pride?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the King James, it doesn't say that Ananias said that they gave the whole thing. And in other versions, it says that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if the King James might not be right, that they didn't actually say we're giving everything. They just pretended they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we can do very easily. Mm-hmm. Pretend that we're godly. Mm-hmm. Pretend that we're studying the Word of God. Pretending that we're worshiping when it may be anything else but worship.
I think too that that Ananias and Sapphira, I think they had the idea that this was not a big deal. Mm-hmm. That is, they didn't think they'd be caught.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they could trick the apostles and trick God, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they were being careless, thinking that way. A careless attitude towards the work in the church. And I think
right.
that we can be guilty of that too. We can be careless sometimes and not take things carefully. And sincerely and seriously, and we can just go through the action, but do it in a sort of careless way. And I think that's something we can all be guilty of.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about the Pharisees. The Lord, when he indicted the Pharisees in Matthew 23, it's interesting the way he says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, therefore whatever they tell you to observe, observe. And do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. You know, we're talking about hypocrisy here. And the Pharisees of the sect, of the different sects of the Jewish religion, they were the most conservative. They would probably be more aligned with what, you know, the Lord would actually have been teaching, in the sense of they believed in the resurrection, they believed in the angels, they believed in the Old Testament laws and such. But the issue the Lord had with them was their hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that always was the thing that they there was the debate, was the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord takes it very seriously.
Sure.
Back then and in the New Testament, like the church as well.
Right on.
Going back to my earlier comment, if they didn't say specifically that they were giving everything,
mm-hmm.
we have something here that promotes the Holy Spirit. We were talking earlier, and mm-hmm. Serge alluded to it here a moment ago, that Peter sensed, or see, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit gave Peter the initiative to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm right that they didn't say up front, we're giving everything, that we're right. pretending to, but the Holy Spirit was working in Peter so that Peter asked the right question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the same thing happens today when you as elders sit down with people and
mm-hmm.
for some reason you just ask a certain question mm-hmm. and you get a response that you didn't expect.
Right. There was one of the commentators I read about it, talked about that as a potential spiritual gift, that idea of discerning, I guess, mm-hmm. is the idea of being able to discern with people of like, maybe their intentions are...
The Holy Spirit knows it all.
Yeah, right.
When it came to Sapphira from Sapphira, he did ask her directly. And she
yeah.
said, yes, that's the amount. So he approached it slightly differently when it came to the wife. But
right.
nevertheless, for Ananias, I think what you're saying is right.
And so, as an overall consequence of this, given, you know, again, the context of when this stuff is happening, it says in both in Ananias' account and Sapphira's that great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. And this iteration of the seriousness of, you know, of sin before God, and about walking upright and checking that pride and all these things. This is an important critical juncture in the life of the early church. And so all of these things, the scandal and sin, all that stuff needed to be rooted out and had to be cut out, because this was such an important time in the life of the church at that point. And it still is today, something that we as individuals need to check our pride. We need to be in consideration of our motives in the things that we do. We want always to be ensuring that, you know, that God is getting the full extent of the glory for anything that we're able to do for Him. That it does through him. And so, that's where I think we're going to pause.
In verse 11 there, just before you do, I find it a bit amusing. A great fear came upon all the church. Mm-hmm. And in the vernacular, I want to say, do you think?
Yeah. Yes. You can imagine those people that next time they gather together, you know what? The ripple effect, the talk in the community of that, right? This is not something to be trifled with. This is very serious, very important. And I think that's even just a good thing, even in our worship. You know, sometimes I think we can come together together in worshiping and you know, sort of just got up and a little bit sleepy and unprepared. You know, when we come in and we come to worship, we should be coming prepared. We should be coming with our whole hearts and be ready to serve, to worship and praise the living God. And so it's not something, you know, in all of our opportunities and acts as high priests to, you know, that we should do things with, you know, our full heart and soul and mind and strength for the glory of God. Okay, so yeah, we'll consider that we have passed through that story of Ananias and Sapphira, and Lord willing, next week, let's pick up at verse 12.